You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
This morning reading comes from Luke 24, starting at verse 1, and you'll find it on page 1061. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
There should be one nearby somewhere under the seat, somewhere near you, and have it open at page 1061, Luke chapter 24, page 1061. And let's pray together. We do indeed thank and praise you, our risen Lord Jesus, that your voice spans the years. And as we look at your word, we ask that you would indeed speak life, stir hope, bring peace to us. Lord Jesus, you know how we come this morning, perhaps with smiles on our faces, but deep pain in our hearts. Perhaps with tears in our eyes, but deep joy in our hearts. So please minister to us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, through your word. And we ask this for your glory. Amen. Well, you should have an outline. You'll need this outline. I hope that everybody's got one on the A5 outline. It's got a couple of pictures in. And I want to use these two pictures to get us thinking about Easter Sunday morning. The one on the left of the burning of Notre Dame, the Christian commentator Al Mohler said this, images of the tragic fire that nearly destroyed Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris are now seared into our minds. It was a deep shock, actually, wasn't it? But wasn't it striking how grief was often, nearly entirely, actually expressed in purely secular terms, in terms of what people said about that. France, like much of Western Europe, has become increasingly secular. Did you notice how many commentators talking about Notre Dame said that it was something like this? It was a symbol of France, a symbol of Paris, a cultural icon, a national icon. And nobody except some religious commentators could bring themselves to say why it was built. Do you notice that? It was built to honour and worship the God and Father of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who died on the cross and was raised to life as Lord. So striking how secular society wants to kind of expunge all of that. Of course, there were religious commentators who said that, but how French society and culture has lost its way. But of course, many British commentators were talking about that as in those terms as well, how we need to hear the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. A national tragedy. Continent that is not completely but is increasingly thoroughly pagan. Look at the picture on the right, from national tragedy to personal hope. There is our Ben, the back, wearing a very silly tie, and he's got an England captain on his right, and there is a smiling face of a young man in the foreground. That man is Toby Savile. He was married to Millie 18 months ago, and you may have seen this story. He and Millie were killed in a tragic car accident last Sunday afternoon. They went in a buggy on a Greek island to visit a site, and they were killed. Just think what hopes they and others had. Just look at his face. This time last week, Toby and his wife were alive. As I said in my prayers, smiling faces can hide great pain. Actually, tears can hide great joy, can't they? How much all of us need to know and trust the risen Lord Jesus. And the gospel writer Luke wants his readers to know the truth about Jesus crucified and risen. And Luke is a historian who can be trusted. In Luke chapter 1, Luke says he has spoken to the eyewitnesses who saw and heard the risen Jesus. And Luke writes in his second book, Acts, chapter 1, verse 3, after Jesus' suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And Luke writes so that we can know the truthfulness of the resurrection. But Luke also writes so that we know and understand the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in this final chapter, Luke selects three resurrection incidents from that Easter Sunday. And we'll look at two this morning. We'll look at the last one next week. So Luke wants us to see evidence, but more than that, he wants us to see the significance of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. So first of all, trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, is my first point, is a wise response to convincing evidence. Verse 1, look at it with me. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Here are the original Spice Girls. It's not a first aid kit they bring. They're bringing ointments to embalm the dead body. They knew the exact place. They'd visited the tomb on Friday. And Luke tells us that they arrived, verse 2, when they arrived, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And there's the empty tomb, the first piece of evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Interestingly, even in doing that, Luke is teaching us something about who Jesus is. So for the first time, the title Lord is used of Jesus in his gospel. Jesus is Lord. He's raised as Lord. Go to Medina and you'll find the tomb of Muhammad with the remains inside. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. All the great political and religious leaders are dead. Jesus is raised to life as Lord. And then there's the divine reminder, verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." This is the best news ever to come from a graveyard. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What great words to hear. He's not here. Jesus has risen. And these men are angels. Angels are messengers for God. I love to remind people that, of course, the mention of angels reminds us that we're here dealing with the supernatural. We're not just dealing here with morality. Christianity is not just morality being good. This is about God breaking into history in the person of his Son. And these angels, they don't bring any new message. Look at this. They remind the women what Jesus had said. Remember what Jesus said. Verse 6, remember how he told you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And look what happened in these women. Then they remembered his words. See, these people were not expecting the resurrection. But Jesus had taught it clearly. Why hadn't they trusted Jesus' words? It was so unexpected. It wasn't the normal thing to happen. They should have trusted Jesus' words in the same way we can trust Jesus' words. And we should trust Jesus' words. Look at the transforming experience. The women remembered Jesus' words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. See, the news that Jesus is raised to life changes people back then and today. Just look at these women. The mourners are turned into messengers. The perplexed are turned into proclaimers. The confused are turned into the convinced. The doubters become believers. And Luke is fascinating. He records that women are the first witnesses. And of course, the testimony of women in the Jewish, in a first century Jewish court was inadmissible. If you were making this up in the first century, you wouldn't write it this way. Of course, I know it could be a double bluff. But there's so much convincing evidence. It's a wise response to trust the risen Lord Jesus as your Saviour. And in this account of Luke, Peter alone wants to check out the claims of the women. So he runs to the tomb, verse 12. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Grave robbers wouldn't normally have waited to unwrap the linen, leave it there. That was the valuable thing. The ointments, again, evidence. Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, says this: faith is blind trust in the face of all the evidence. Believing in Jesus Christ is as plausible as believing in fairies at the bottom of the garden. But Christian faith is not blind trust. And trusting the risen Lord Jesus rests on convincing evidence, not in subjective feelings based on subjective experiences, but on the facts. The tomb was empty. The Lord Jesus was raised, and people witnessed him, as we're going to see now. Just look at the second instant Luke selects. Two men are on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Just think, all those things they were talking about. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, be honest, what would you have expected? Surely we would have expected Jesus to be shouting, "It's me! It's me! I'm back from the dead!" But look what Luke records. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now, people love to speculate. Maybe the risen Jesus was wearing a first century hoodie pulled down. Perhaps the two disciples were blinded by grief. But that phrase, they were kept from recognizing him, is clear. Strong statement. And in this instant, Luke records, and Jesus is going to teach, what they must understand and what Luke wants us to understand. Secondly, trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior involves understanding his sin-bearing death as the way to glory. Look how Cleopas thinks that the death of Jesus is the end of everything. See, he's got to have his kind of mental furniture rearranged and put back in place by the risen Lord Jesus. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these last days? The risen Jesus says, what things? Of course, Jesus knows everything that's happened. But the men replied about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed over him to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now notice those words. We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And you see, to them, the death of Jesus was the end of everything. It was shattered hopes, shattered dreams. How they needed the risen Lord Jesus to speak into them. For them to see clearly that Jesus had to suffer and to die before entering his glory. And how in all our shattered dreams and hopes, we need to hear that again this morning. See, look how the risen Jesus responds. It's fascinating. Jesus doesn't console them. He actually rebukes them. He calls them fools. Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Striking, that is, that Jesus calls them fools, which is just a reminder that he wants us this morning to be wise. He wants them to be wise. He wants us to be wise. See, Jesus must teach them a great truth. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? The Son of God had to die. It was not a mistake. There were many mistakes these men were making, weren't they? They thought it was going to be all about Israel being great again and being free of Roman rule. And Christ crucified did not fit into that. Christ and being crucified were words that for them did not go together. It's a bit like saying Bob Marston and ballet. They don't go together. Actually, there's some. No, I don't know. They're words that can't go together. You see, these disciples were wrong. They hadn't understood that God's king must suffer, and it's all there in the Old Testament. Moses and the prophets. You see, how wise to see and to understand that Jesus has to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Then thirdly, trusting the risen Lord Jesus as Saviour involves eyes being opened as the Scriptures are believed. Eyes being opened as the Scriptures are believed. See, Jesus rebukes them and then he instructs them. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What a great Bible study that must have been to be part of. And Jesus says, look, the Old Testament is not a kind of random series of books thrown together by chance. Even Christians, we sometimes read it like that. Here's the big storyline. It's all about the Lord Jesus who has to suffer and die and then enter his glory. Think of the law of Moses. In the law of Moses, it clearly revealed that it's only through sacrifice that sins can be paid for and forgiven. And then the Lord Jesus comes as the great sacrifice, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Or think of the Passover lamb whose blood was shed so that God's people did not experience judgment. And then the Lord Jesus comes as the Lamb of God who dies to take God's judgment for our sin upon himself. Did not the Christ have to suffer? He explained in the scriptures. Or Isaiah 53, verse 6, the suffering servant. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. A great description of sin. And the Lord has laid on him, that is the suffering servant, the iniquity of us all. There, it's there in the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus says, you've got to understand that I had to suffer and to die. See how these points run together, actually. We have to understand his sin-bearing death as the way to glory, and eyes are opened as the scriptures are believed. See, Jesus had to go to the cross to die. Think of the Chapel Ring Road. I'm sorry for those who are here, visitors who don't know the Chapel Ring Road, but it's very easy to understand. The Ring Road bypass there just takes you around Chapel, doesn't it? Speeds you through rather than winding up the hill and down the hill, narrow roads. But in God's plan to save sinners like you and me, there was no ring road for Jesus to miss Jerusalem and his death on the cross. He had to die as a sacrifice for sin, to pay the price so that we could be forgiven. And you see, today people make foolish mistakes, don't they, about Jesus? That Jesus was just a good teacher? That he just did good and healed people? But the heart of Christianity is that God's Son had to come and die. That was God's loving plan. Extraordinary, isn't it, for sinners like you and me? And trusting the risen Lord Jesus as Savior involves seeing that and understanding that, and involves eyes being opened as the scriptures are believed. Believe the scriptures. That they can be trusted. Look with me at verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So do you see how it's only when they've been instructed from the scriptures about how Jesus had to die and then be raised and then enter his glory that they see the risen Jesus. Eyes are opened. What was so special about this meal? We don't know. We don't know. Maybe it's the risen Jesus. As they broke bread, they saw the nail holes in his wrists. Maybe they remember the Lord's Supper. We don't know. But eyes were opened. A supernatural work. But the scriptures are there. And the point that Luke is saying in recording this is you can believe the scriptures. And look what the disciples comment on verse 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon Peter." And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. So Jesus made other resurrection appearances to Peter, and these people are changed by their encounter. And we'll see more next week. Everybody's speaking. Everybody's speaking. So what is the risen Lord Jesus saying to us in his word this morning? The risen Lord Jesus speaks in his word to those who don't yet believe. Your lack of faith and trust is not because of the absence of evidence. The evidence, I think, taken together is strong and convincing. And everything here reminds us that Jesus is utterly trustworthy. He'd said that he would be raised to life, and he was. So is God's word. And maybe this is new to you, but be like Peter, find out more. Find out more. Join our Christianity Explored course after Easter, which just explores who Jesus is and why he came. There's an invite on the table at the back. Have a word with me. But the risen Lord Jesus speaks in his word to those who want to know if there is more to life than just things and the here and now. Life is not just what we touch and taste and smell and see and hear. Life is not just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We can know that there is life beyond the grave. And it is foolish just to live for the things of this world. The risen Lord Jesus wants us to have life now. And yes, of course, through the grave, as we trust him. The risen Lord Jesus speaks in his word to those who are doubting. Maybe we've been in church for many years, and there are loud, skeptical voices all around, aren't there? And this passage reminds us to trust the words of the risen Lord Jesus, to cling on to him and his promises. The answer to doubts is to hear the words of Jesus, to see that the Old Testament is trustworthy. In the next story, to see that the witness of the apostles is trustworthy. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Great words to hear. The risen Lord Jesus speaks in his word to those whose hopes have been shattered. Just think of Toby Savile's parents, grandparents, or hoping to be grandparents maybe for grandchildren. Think of friends of Toby and Millie Savile. My hope had been that this would happen. And perhaps sometimes we say, Jesus has not delivered. Look what's happened. A death, a failed relationship, some other disappointment. But the risen Jesus does not take us out of our problems now. We live in a fallen, sinful, evil world. But he does provide for our greatest needs, for the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, the gift of his Spirit, his presence with us, through all the pain of this fallen, sinful world. And of course, he can take us through death, he alone, into eternal life. And the risen Lord Jesus speaks in his word to those who need encouragement in the faith. Don't be discouraged or downhearted. You're beset by ongoing sin. All of us are. And by his death, he can forgive sin, all sin. Christ died for all your sin. So you trust him. Hear the risen Lord Jesus speak in his word, these great words in Revelation. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Great words to hear, aren't they, for those who think that Jesus is far away from us, or maybe we have drifted far away from the risen Lord Jesus. It's easy, isn't it, to go through life for things outwardly to look the same, to turn up to church on Sunday, but actually Jesus to be at arm's length. These men thought that Jesus was dead and gone, but the risen Jesus was speaking to them as they walked. He was near to them. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him, and he with me. That is an invitation, first and foremost, for Christians to know again the fellowship of the risen Lord Jesus. Let's pray, shall we?